an easy road at all. It is time enough that men in this country understand what the rules are. If it can't work, it simply cannot work. But to deprive people of a life and living, and children of the parents, is one of the most serious things that anybody could ever, ever, ever do. I say this on this program more than once. I told my audience on many occasions when I have to speak that as a result of the same domestic violence, I learned going after. In other words, I took my education serious long after I was past 16, because that I believe that somebody should have been held responsible, right, for the situation that I have found myself in, not having a mother, not having a father, simply because of domestic violence. So the talk that people run around this country and got issues, I support Marsha. I may not support everything that she may say or how she may coach her language. I may have some difficulty with it. But she's on the right track. She's on the right track, Corey. Don't let anybody confuse you. She's on the right track.
But let us part you as a personality and let's zoom in on your particular issue. So we deal with the issue as opposed to personality. I think that you as a person can actually champion and bring some positivity to even those who would have suffered at the hands of domestic violence, to the point where you present yourself in public as a very confident, intelligent individual. Whether people agree with your style, your message or not, that is one common thread that they would admit, even after themselves alone. So I think that what we are seeing, even as we look at the front page of today's newspaper and we see the son of the Archcott victim excelling, one of the things that can come from tragedy is that kind of spirit to still excel, to rise from the ashes like the phoenix. And I think that that is one positive that we should be able to push, and at the same time kind of push the prevention element on how we can prevent these things from happening. Because when you talk about domestic violence, the question I ask you is, you are talking as a victim of it or someone who would have witnessed it and therefore would have been psychologically scarred?
Of course. But Corey, as long as I live, Corey, I will never forget the incident. As long as I ever shall live, I will never forget the incident. Corey, so it is not easy. Sometimes I need to be alone, Corey, sometimes. Mm. To regroup, to do everything possible to bring some type of
sanity,
reality to the being called Patrick King. This is not
so. So it is a large part of who you are today. That's what I'm saying.
Of course.
I know it's a sensitive issue, but for those of the listening public that may not be familiar, I would like you to at least share some of what would have occurred to give people an understanding of what we talk about when we talk about the pain and suffering that can come about from these instances of domestic violence.
Corey, the issue was here, right? Was I was around 6 years old at the time, and noise broke out. My father apparently was uncomfortable with the behavior of my mother. I don't believe that, regardless of how she behaved, had absolutely no reason why that he should have done what he did. The bottom line here, right, Corey, is that I you know, in those days we had the front house and then the shed roof style. I'm familiar with it.
My great grandmother has one.
Good. So being outside, because after the night broke, I was asked to go outside. Now when I was on my way outside, it's when I heard the collision. When I returned, Corey, to see my mother in a headless state, Corey. Corey, this is not easy, you know. This is easy. So when I hear men walking around and believing that because they spend money from people and they do this and they got some right to ownership and right to destroy your life, and that, Corey, it is one of the most idiotic thinking that any human being created by God can believe. It is rubbish, because I believe that if something is isn't working, it isn't working. There has to be alternatives. There has to be a solution. If it can't work, it can't work.
We say that, but we know it is a lot more complex than that, because when you go into human feelings, and this funny word called love, and two human beings kind of feel it for each other, some strange things happen, and some strange, the mind functions in a strange way. Now, Corey, before the collision, you think your father would have taken the life of your mother. There would have been instances where there would have been beatings and so on. Not so, because they don't
of
get
course,
it. Correct.
Of course, you would have
witnessed that over a period of time. And not looking back, you would have been too young. But looking back, you ask yourself the question, what could have been done to prevent this? As I told you, I got messages all through the day saying that there's little to nothing you can do about these things. I beg to differ. And I'm sure. Okay, go ahead, tell us.
No, I can tell you this is not true, right? Now, I do not understand for the life of me why my mother believed that she should have remained in an abusive relationship first. I don't understand for the life of me why she believed so. But the challenge that we are having, Corey, is that when men are the breadwinners of homes and women rely heavily upon them for financial support, some women get the impression that because they are in this particular state, that they cannot move to the next level. I beg to differ, Corey. That is not true. It is a myth that women hold on to. That is not true. You can move on. If you make up your mind to move on, you can do so. The challenge a lot of women are having is that they continue to remain in abusive relationships, recognizing it is not working, but believe because that they will be unable to support themselves and their children if they move on is primarily the reason why they stay. That is the challenge. And if a lot of them move on from the first instant, when it first occur and they move, Corey, trust me, I believe a lot of it will come to naught if they do it. The problem is that there's a psychological belief on their part that they can do nothing, so I have to stay because it's the person who bringing in the groceries, the person who doing this, it's the person who doing that, so what?
But you don't forget the second line of the verse by Taurus, really, when he says, you know, if he beat you, later in the night, he comes, seduce you. They come with the sorries, and they come the most loving individual. They come with the huge puppy eyes. And I think that is one of the things, because I think a lot of women, and we know in danger zone, because we cannot speak as women. We don't understand their emotions and the way they think. But I believe that at that point in time, they are prepared to leave. But when they see that other individual, they fall back in love with that other individual, not the individual that would have hit them, but the individual that would bring the chocolate, the roses, the wingdings, hugs,
Corey,
and those things.
Corey, I would characterize that type of love, like, as love. That's foolish love.
Right. But remember, it's not about you. It's about them. How are they characterizing it?
That type of love is a misunderstanding between two fools. That's what I'm saying. It's a misunderstanding between two fools. Because if you recognize, Corey, that your life is partially in danger continuously by the constant beating, right, and abuse, right, and not only the lashing, you know, Corey, I don't the verbal abuse by the utterances that come from some men towards women, right? It's at a large scale. But those persons who seek to support it are the ones, Corey, who are either doing it or prepared to do so. That's the reason why you will hear these type of arguments coming from certain men, right? And I'm not going to say me. I prefer to use the word some, so I drop the pronoun, right? But the bottom line here, Corey, right, is that men in this country have sell themselves short in that they refuse to step up to the plate. And then the reason why, Corey, that you see a lot of women filling pertinent roles in society and doing a whole set of things, because that men would not step up to the plate. That's
correct.
The bottom line.
And some of them, when they're very independent, they do very, very well. But I think we need to work together as a society. This is one of the issues I don't believe we should talk a lot about only. I think there should be support groups. There should be strong legislation. There should be serious examples made of. There should be every case taken seriously. Because a lot of the times you hear about these incidents, you hear the fact that this was reported, nothing was done. Because there's so many reports, you don't know who can kill who next. But what you do, you take all serious. And don't tell me about manpower, don't tell me about resources. Because you're talking about lives. And lives cannot be left behind in the balance. Lives must be addressed. Patrick, want to really...
Move on quickly and wrap up. To my second point. I want to deal with the people's parliament. Now, Corinne, we are now on the threshold of a general election. What is very disturbing to me is that the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation does not lend itself to any accommodation for the opposition or any of the other parties coming into the next general election. VRB has laid a platform to hear the views and the voices of those persons who want to form the government outside of the Democratic Labour Party. Now, and in so doing, VRB have set up something called the People's Parliament. What is most disturbing to me, Corey, is that the Democratic Labour Party is now seeking a re-election to office. Would have turned down on numerous occasions any opportunity that was given to them by way of reaching out from Starcom Network to come into the studios to help the people of this country to better understand where they would like to take this country by virtue of their policies and the plans and programs. Refused to come. Corey, do you think then, in all fairness and good conscience, that the Democratic Labour Party can be serious going into this general election, not making themselves available to the people of this country who now form part of the electorate, that would want to find out from them where it is they want to take the country? What vision do you have for Barbados in the next 10 years or 15 years? You don't believe that the electorate has a right to hear this coming from the members of the Democratic Labour Party, and for the Democratic Labour Party to stay away from a hand that was reached out to them on a forum such as the People's Parliament on VB, knowing full well, Corey, that such does not exist at the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation. Do you think that in good conscience that they should be re-elected to office, not and willfully refusing to come forward to tell the people of this country where they intend to take the country by virtue of an opportunity extended to them by Starcom Network?
Let me put it this way. Nationally, yes. Politically, no. And I'll explain. You got to understand that when these programs are done, it appeals nationally, okay, to what will happen nationally. Elections are done constituency by constituency. So if they come here and they demonstrate that level of what you may term as disrespect, but they go to the constituency and they win the hearts of the constituents, understand that they will continue to do well. My thing is, I think I understand it, and I understand it like this, because more one member of the executive have told me that they won't feel comfortable coming here. They don't want anything to do here. We let people bash them and they go down. I think it is politically immature. I think it's immature, quite frankly. It is not all of the members, because you would remember hearing Minister Innes on a number of occasions saying they need to do better when it comes to PR. You would have heard Minister Stephen Lashley say the same thing. But some of them get very upset, and in Corey Lane's personal opinion, very petty, when they believe that they're being attacked, sometimes unfairly, sometimes fairly. And my thing is that I think it is disrespectful to the people, and not only the politicians, but the senior government officials who refuse to provide information, take interviews, take calls, when they are being paid by taxpayer dollar. There's a reason why it is called the public service. You are giving a service to the public. And that is what it should be. That is what it must be. But they fail to understand that, because they take these things personal. At the end of the day, you understand it. They're human. And sometimes your feelings feel, you know, you feel hurt. But you have a responsibility to show up and deliver on behalf of the people who vote you there, on behalf of the people who pay your salary.
I'm going to close it. I want that when the Democratic Party supporters come on the calling program. I don't have anything against the Democratic Party. I think the Democratic Party is a wonderful organization. The problem is that this crowd we have is unfortunate that it has fell away from the principles and the philosophies of Arabar. That's the reason why, to the extent now when they're out there in the schools, you don't see Arabar, the image of Arabar, and, you know, you're not seeing Erskine Sandiford, you're seeing David Thompson, because they are so far removed from the philosophies of Arabar that they cannot now reach out and bring them now to the forefront. But the, what I want, in closing, to say is that I'm hoping that those persons who support the Democrat Labour Party and come to your program this morning to speak, that they will tell a story why, in good conscience, they believe that the members who they support should be staying away from the public, not coming to give members of the public the opportunity to find out where they want to take the country, what vision they have for Barbados, if they have a direction for the country, what is the direction? Ask them in good conscience if they think that it is fair.
Before you run, we had you on quite a while, and I need to let you go, but I wanted to ask this question. I wanted to relate this directly to you. Someone here on the message says, good morning. You guys, and I think they're meaning you and I, are making men out to be monsters. Do you realize that sometimes these women leave the men? It makes them feel, how can you control that? Meaning, do you think we are really making the men out to be monsters? How do you respond to that?
Corey, it is simple, Corey. If I am in a relationship, I have to know if the relationship can work or if it does not work based on what is happening in the relationship. So in other words, right, if I decide that I provide a home, as a result of the relationship, a child is born of the relationship, but recognize that having done all of this, that the relationship is not working. Corey, I think I have a fiduciary responsibility. The responsibility is that I would make proper arrangements for the care of the child, and I will decide I will move on. Corey, it is simple as this. The point I'm making, right? Because I don't believe if you're going to invest in a home, to the extent where you're going to build or going to a mortgage setting with a woman, it should be fairly clear to you that this is what you want. You don't gamble with those type of things. It is clear. I understand, Corey, that in some instances, after 10 years or 5 years, 8 years down the road after doing such, that problems may arise. Fine. If that is the case, Corey, you need to sit down and decipher what it is you want to do and decide clearly in your mind what it is you want to do, chart a path and move on. But it cannot be resulting in the death of a person. It cannot. I don't care what scenario you bring. It cannot result in the death of a person. So if you spend all the money down British Dump on the woman and do discover that she got the watchman at St. Joseph,
correct,
you got decision to make.
All right, let us leave
if
it.
You're gonna keep the watchman, or if you're going to get, if you can let you keep the watchman and you move on to the next year. That's the bottom line, Corey. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I got you. Let me leave you with this part, a message of support. It says, good morning, Corey. Patrick is so right. You never get over it. You learn to live with it, but it's there all the time. I witnessed the death of my mom in a very brutal manner. I was a child then. I am now an adult. But like Patrick, there's time I need to be alone. And I cry like if it just happened. 70 minutes after 11 o'clock. We'll be right back.
VOB 92.9 FM wants you to enjoy the sweet life for 1 year.
1 year.
One lucky VOB listener will win a year of easy living. Thanks to Esso, Energy Lives Here. Flow, always connected, always faster. KFC, finger licking good. Laurie Dash Craft Shop, the original craft shop on Bay Street for quality products and the best prices. Accents and decor, your space, your style, and LED illuminations. A brighter, greener future. Sweet life in VOB country.
Let's get in about 3 WhatsApps and then back to the lines. This one says, good morning, Corey. This message is for MTW. From Roberts Manufacturing right down to the highway needs patching badly. Also, Ocean City, St. Philip. Please ask the Barbados Water Authority to stop digging up the road and leaving it without fixing it back properly. Thanks. I went to a panel discussion and this was being discussed in terms of how the utilities dig up the road. There need to be some kind of enforcement on that. This one says, good morning, Corey. I heard there was an increase in bus fare for school children and people are not aware of this. Could you get someone to explain? Could you also put out a call to the SSA to send some garbage trucks to Sandy Hill, St. Philip? This is going 3 weeks now. Thank you. I find St. Philip getting lots of problems, and I think it may be the relocation of people. We know a lot of people move into St. Philip, and I believe the social amenities may not have been adjusted to suit. Just saying, some studies and census and these different things supposed to be able to pick up these things. But this bus fare school children, hearing school children paying $2 on the vinyl. So again, somebody in the know with the information can give us some information, and we will go from there. One more. This one says, hi, Corey. Good morning. I'm writing in connection with Marsha Hines' comment about Barbadian men preying on non-nationals. Corey, I'm a Guyanese and a victim of domestic violence. I've been abused physically, mentally, emotionally, and sexually. The only difference between me and the woman that lost her life on Saturday is that I ran for my life. I left my son with my husband. Up to this day, I'm afraid of my husband. I don't want him to know where I'm living. My story is so long, I can't even begin to type it out. 23 minutes after 11 o'clock, down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Good morning, Corey.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. What about you?
I
haven't heard you for a while.
Yeah, well, that's another story which I'll tell you one time. I did call about one issue, but since then, I've had two more. Now, this short one, may I ask if that's Graham's one, who is the producer?
Of course, yes. I actually want to show up my entire production team. We got KB Clean, we got Graham Vaughn, and you got me, moderator Corey Lee, and the Tammy. Three clowns are in the studio. Pum, 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 pum.
Everything else inside there. And I'll tell you what, I asked Miss Graham Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, so you could understand how long it was, Focus on the Family is one of my favorite programs. At the time, it came on 92.9. And I am listening that night to Focus on the Family. And I heard about this book, but I didn't get the author. I called the program, and I asked this Graham, what's the name of the author? He said to me, well, I'll tell you what, give me a name or your number, and I'll call you back after the program and give you the correct name and the author. Do you know he stuck to his word?
Mm-hmm.
And I only last week was going across some of my musings because I love writing and reading. And I came across that. And lo and behold, this morning, I get a chance to tell him about that. He won't remember that, but I just want to tell him thanks.
You're smiling and say you're welcome on his behalf.
Well, fine. No, the next thing is, this is not what I called for either. The gentleman who just talked about his experience, I wish more men like him and women would come out and talk about these things. It might help the men out there, and it would certainly help the children who've been victims of these things to know that I can overcome it. I won't forget, but I will overcome it. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he touched my heart when he started. Now, to go on from there about my experience. Now, my experience with my father had nothing to do with my state of depression I developed over the years. Now, I want to tell men, if you want your children to love you, treat the mother well. My mother came from what you would have called a highfalutin family. And, you know, after she told us that, and then I realized what happened after this marriage. And so I would always ask her, now, how did you readjust? It wasn't only the beating and so on inside there. But my father has never hit me. But I did not know it. I didn't like him. But I'll tell you something. I won't go into all the details in between there. When my father died, I didn't even want to go to the funeral. Oh, first, then we were getting married, and everybody's saying who's to give away whom what. And they said about my father giving away me. I said to them, well, let me tell you here and now. If my father has to give away me, let us call off the wedding. You know about any young woman who don't want to get married, and then that's a simple thing that your father gave me. You thought you wouldn't get married? I said, well, if he has to give me that, let us call off the wedding from now. Years went by. When he died, my mother was dressing to go to the funeral. I asked her, this is about 30 years after, where are you going? She, and the other said to me, she wants to go, let her go. Now, and the other thing, now, after that, my father died in 1988. Corey, I am not grieving for him. I don't hate him anymore. I don't love him. Nothing. And God knows this, so I'm telling you and the other people out there. But what I can remember is the way he treated my mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you something else. I oftentimes ask people, that if you lose your father, How do you feel when your father dies? What are you supposed to feel? And nobody has ever given me the answer. I have not found the answer yet. And I don't need any psychological or sociologist or psychologist to tell me the answer. You get what I'm saying, Corey?
Yep. Lots of pain and lots of hurt out there. It needs healing.
But if it passed the pain and the hurt, because he never hit me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't used to beat us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But what I'm trying to say is, if we can get across to the children out there that there is healing, you don't forget.
Actually, when you say that, one of the WhatsApps I read came to my mind. I want to read this one while you're on this so that we can make the connection. This one says, good day, Corey. So many issues in this country need to be addressed from infancy. Respect for both girls and women and respect for boys and men cannot be addressed in adulthood. If our parents are disrespectful and can't teach respect, then our schools must spend time teaching respect. I can add all other types of organizations, clubs, etc. who should be involved in, but respect for other human beings must be taught at home and school. I have heard persons take issue with these suggestions, saying it is something as is in something long term, but we must start now. We took our hands off the brakes long ago, and now we are reaping this nonsense. If we are to get a grip now on the pre-primaries, we will see benefits in the long term. And I think that speaks a lot to what you're talking about.
Now, Corey, what I'm hearing is what my granddaughter now asked me to call the program today for her. She came in yesterday evening. She says, Granny, I want you to call Brass Tacks for me tomorrow. I says, what happened? She said I was on the bus this evening, and it was kind of crowded, and there is this man on my back. And when I realized what was happening, I looked back at him, and I says, excuse me. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
And in the way that she said it,
mm-hmm.
I said, what did he say? Nothing. And I said, did anybody else in the bus make any comments? No, Granny. No, you see, somebody needs to tell perverts. No, not all men are perverts. There's a small percentage of men who are perverts, right? But I would like somebody to tell these perverts that there is a woman named Miss Palmer, and she has 5 daughters. She is at your command. She's in your hand. You can tell her what to do, and she follows your instructions. And I know that there is somewhere in the Bible where something was written alone that is said about some man and the seed. So I find that there are these, I have considered, there are these men who would ride the bus and wait for a lonely bus stop. There, a female gets off, because this is an intention of getting another bus, you know. And he... The bus, this area is lonely. Traffic is few and far in between, and there are gaps, no streets. And he would get off behind some woman and rape her. Or he might even sit on the bus until the bus goes to the destination and see if she's getting off last. All of these things happen.
Well, all these things need to be reported to the authorities. And the authorities need to follow up on these things. Like, each and every one of them are serious. You see, we wait till it's too late. And I think that's where our issue is. But what are we going to do? Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you very much. This one says, good morning, Mr. Moderator and listeners. I am a Guyanese, born citizen of Barbados. I would like to know, what are the requirements to obtain a protection order from the magistrate or Supreme Courts? Because I applied on many occasions due to abuse and assault received from my estranged husband to our children and myself, and every time I was turned down by the courts. I guess the court and police of Barbados are only interested when children are left for the government of Barbados and taxpayers to maintain. When I call the police station, it's like a joke. I'm sleeping with knives and bop spray in my bed case, in case he decides to do me something. Thanks, sir, for reading. Signed, Anonymous. No. You see, we don't have all the facts here. We will never have all the facts by receiving one-way messages, whether on the telephone or by messages like these. But this speaks to a problem that we have across the country, and a problem that we need to address, not only when something bad happens, but we have to. We got to shut up and get down to brass tacks on that. That's what we really need to do. This one says, I do not live in Barbados, but when I hear simplistic issues over the airways, a tear comes to my eyes. Are you telling us that in 2018, no one in Barbados knows what to do about abandoned vehicles on the road? Sad. I hate to bring sad news, but that is the truth. And in Barbados, you call and you get the answering machine and you're told to call this other place. And I give you a classic example with people burning stuff in your area. You're told to call the fire service. The fire service may tell you to call the police. The police will tell you to call the polyclinic. The polyclinic will tell you, try to reach the health inspector. And the health inspector will tell you, call the fire station. And you start all over again. I'm telling you that, not from hearsay this time. I'll tell you that one from personal experience years ago. But that is what happens here. You know, no one wants to say this is my responsibility according to section this in this particular act, and I will act on it and I will make a decision. Everybody wants to pass the buck. They don't pass the check at the end of the month, but they'll pass the buck during the month. This one says, Corey, exclamation mark. Couple months from now, you can see what's going to happen to all them buildings that got bought there. Check the materials that they're using constructing them Fandango Bank buildings. I like this one. 27 minutes before noon. Brass Stats, you're on the air. Good morning. Good morning. You're live on Brass Stats. Talk to me, please.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, my name is Roy Raphael, and I'm from the Alliance Orders of Public Transport.
Oh, man, take off your shoes and come in.
How you doing?
Hey, fine, thanks, man.
Great. I wanted to respond basically to the one of your persons who would have sent a text was related to the $2 bus fare for children.
Yes.
Right. Let me make it clear that bus fare in Barbados is $2 across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, what we have been doing as a responsible and, well, good owners is that we have been charging school children $1.50, as which we no longer can absorb because of the high insurance rates, high court costs, and so on. So we would have had a meeting with the relevant authority to make sure that we are well within our rights. And we are. So we said, effective from yesterday, that school children will now have to pay $2 across the board. And we also said to our drivers and operators to be responsible as well, in order for a child doesn't have $2 not to left him or her standing, sorry, by the road. But at this stage, we have our vehicles are very, very old, as we'll appreciate. We have vehicles dated back from 1984. The oldest ZR we have on the road right now is a 1997 model, and insurance can rate for third party from $17,000, right, for insurance for third party. And we can go on. So at this time, our profits cannot allow us to continue in that vein. We have made several attempts to the Ministry of Public Works, Ministry of Finance, to give us duty free concession on our vehicles. We are at the point where we don't know if we're going to get it. I believe discussions continue, but we are open to discussion as far as the increase. Well, we will say there's an increase. It's just that we
normally when things go up, the economy increase. Yeah, just saying.
But it was always there. The $2 mm-hmm. was always there.
I was about to ask that. In terms of the budget, I remember that the bus fare was not raised to $2. Bus fare would have been raised by 50 cents, which means the $1.50 bus fare for adults would have gone to $2, and the $1 bus fare for children went to $1.50. So but where in the law does it speak to $2? Because I would have to go and pick back up the last budget when it was increased.
That, but we would have consulted with our attorneys and but before we've taken that step.
I am not arguing, you know, but attorneys don't set the law in Barbados, you know. The Minister of Finance is the person who, through the financial regulations, regulates bus fares. Right. And what I'm saying, in the last budget that bus fare was increased, it was increased by 50 cents. So it was not increased to $2. That was a particular point I can remember being made. I speak subject to correction.
Okay.
But that was a particular point made that bus fares will go up by 50 cents. Right. If you get where you're coming from.
So where
in the law does it speak to the bus fares being $2 as opposed to not that it was raised by 50 cents? And I don't have a problem with 50 cents. My problem with these things, like most other things, is how they're done. So on Wednesday, you will hear officially that, and not even officially, But you were here at Atmospheres when yesterday. So I sent my child to school yesterday with $3. And he come telling me about Atmospheres $2. And I cut his tail because he telling me lies. And they ask me where the change I tell you to bring back from the 5 and all these different little issues. My thing is that, why can't we always be ahead of these things? Why can't we do the PR? Why can't we let people know what's happening? So my thing is not necessarily the what, but the how. And every single time, we the public must be the last to know and find out way after.
But we did so. We would have spoken to the relevant authority. We would have spoken to the media on it. So it's not something that just happened. We would have informed. I let the public know that that is what we were going to do from the first day of the school term.
Right. When I heard, I understand it was a proposal. I thought they had to go back to Parliament to increase it to the $2 that you guys wanted, because it can only be increased through parliamentary increase and not necessarily our regulations being changed, not necessarily you guys deciding our vehicles are old, they're 1984, so we need to carry out the... Because I am telling you, I am very sympathetic to the industry. I am very familiar with the fees that the industry has to pay in relation to their competitors. I am very, very familiar and very, very aware of those things. So my other thing too with this is in relation to the industry and the industry's making its case. Why want to be careful with my words, because when I'm sympathetic, there's something that often when I'm in discussion with people about public service vehicles, they say on one hand, you have the conductors and drivers on for the most, some of them, let me point out where some do a lot of foolishness on the road because they need to make a living. They don't really make a living. They have to struggle. They have to hustle. And then on the other hand, people tell you there's a good business to get into. They got the politicians, they got the lawyers, everybody get these vans because you make a lot of money. They rake in money at the end of every single day. There's a minimum that must be brought to them. So isn't this money reinvested in the industry so that you can buy vans and not have 1984 vans in 2018?
Well, some persons believe that by having a PSV, you make a lot of money. But if you really do the math, it does not really reflect.
Mm-hmm.
As I said to you earlier, that insurance company can charge you $17,000 a year for a third party insurance on a vehicle, and that is, you know, to us that's a lot of money. I mean, we understand the risk that is involved and so,
mm-hmm.
but it's something that we will have to debate at another time. But surely, what I'm saying is that I called to clear the point on the bus fare mm-hmm. issue and. I just wanted to point out that our understanding is that it's $2 across the board and that we have not been breaking the law.
I'm gonna pick up on that too, because one of the issues I believe is that the impression is coming as though you guys are implementing your own law instead of it coming from the Ministry of Finance or the Ministry of Transport. I would have heard proposals coming from your organization to start charging $2 in order to get closer to the economic rate. And I would appreciate that $2 is still not even the economic rate. So these are things that we know as public. I got to go and dig up in. So when people come and tell them officially there's a position or not. And I'm just saying that the way we do things, we've got to do better in this country in terms of the approach to these matters. But I want to thank you, though. I really, really want to thank you for coming and bringing the information. Something I'm concerned about is sometimes we get too many opinions and not as much facts from people like yourself coming and bringing information as official as you can call it. So thank you very much on that. 20 minutes before noon, you are on Down to Brass Stats. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Lane.
Hi, good morning.
I was on for a considerable amount of time listening to Patrick, listening to all the others. I want to deal with three matters, but I first want to compliment you on your statement this morning in relation to representation. And to explain that, you know, people who are seeking political office must understand fully what is involved. And saying that, to say this, I'm asking the question, the House is now dissolved, right? And we've got what we know as a caretaking executive. We've been hearing rumors to the effect that one of the people who's supposed to be functioning is sick. Questionable situations as far as that person is concerned. My question this morning is, he will get sick benefits, or as far as I'm concerned, would he still be receiving a salary as such, based on the fact that we know that he's not working? We know the taxpayers most likely would have to be contributing to this. But the question is that we need to have a clarification. And who's acting for him? Nobody is established who's the minister in acting position. As far as the minister who has been absent and who we've heard rumors about so far. Now, the other point I want to establish as far as cleaning up is concerned. Corey, how can a member of parliament, regardless of where, sit within the halls of parliament for 10 years, then to realize that there's garbage in his constituency or her constituency and set about a day of cleaning? When in true fact, where was that person all the time? Where was all the garbage that was mounting up in that constituency? I wonder if that person thinks that the people are so foolish that they will give that individual a vote because they found it fit to come up with trucks owned by not sanitation, owned by a particular person who is involved as well, supporting the very candidate in relation to these cleanups, both in the city and both in St. Michael's Northwest. And I'm saying I'm very annoyed about this type of politics. This politics is cheap politics, where you wait till an election call and you figure you can establish yourself by having a cleanup campaign. What cleanup campaign? Cleanup campaign should have been almost 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Every year you should be doing it. Don't think that you're going to get any votes on that, because people are concerned about the high taxes they're paying. They're concerned about several things. The other thing I want to highlight, Corey, is extremely important in this exercise, and I'm calling on the Minister, Mr. Darvillinus, parliamentary representative for St. James South. I'm calling on Sandra Husbands, who is supposed to be the Barbados Labour Party's candidate for St. James South, and I am calling on the owner of a business outside of where I live here at one state, just above the traffic lights, and I'm calling on the Minister of Public Works, if they will really come to Hines Hill and see the condition of the road, what condition the road is in, because of the heavy container trucks reversing into this business every day. And the motorists, I'm doing this on behalf of the motorists who have got to travel, both going towards St. James and both going towards Bridgetown. And anyone could drive past and see what I'm saying, that the road in a deplorable state. It wasn't caused by the motors themselves. It was caused by every week a container truck or container truck are driving into this enterprise there. And as a result of that, you can't blame the container truck drivers. You have to blame the person who have got this business up here, that have no respect. No respect for the residents, have no respect for even the motorists who travel. So I'm calling on Darvillinus, Mr. Innes. You are the parliamentary representative for St. James South. Come and see. I'm calling on Sandra Husbands, who is seeking office. Come and see. I'm calling on the Minister of Public Works. Come just outside of Airy Road, outside of the traffic lights here, and see the condition of this road, that import and export company right in this area. It's causing to motorists and at least being dangerous. And I'm serious about it.
Let me ask you this question, because I would have heard you on this for a number of years. I mean, with the company moving in residential area. And I get the impression, and as time, I feel from time to time, or all too often in Barbados as well, it feels as though you don't get that type of representation, you don't get answers and so on. But let me ask you this, and I want you to answer me honestly. If you had the opportunity to sit with, let's say, the company, the MP, a mediator, yourself, some residents, right, on a number of occasions, and you say, okay, after three meetings, we're going to come to a conclusion, and they hear your side, they hear that, they hear everybody's side, you know, and yeah, they say, okay, at the end of the day, this is the decision that we made. We can let the cars remain, but we're going to put up some type of shielding or something, just as an example, yeah? But there's some meeting, there's some discussion, and there's some decision. Would you feel less aggrieved at the end of the day?
Corey, you know Mark Williams. I have spoken to Minister Innes, and I consider Minister Innes to be an honest and sincere person, because he said he will check it out. I have done that. I am saying seriously that I have nothing wrong with speaking to the proprietor or the owner of the place above where I'm living. But I'm concerned that somewhere along the line, if you're a business person in an area and you don't understand that you're not just a business person, you're a resident, then why should I try to speak to you? If I was called after, I spoke to Mr. Innes. Mr. Innes can tell you, came to pick up a paper morning, and I said, look to your right and see the condition of that road. And he openly said to me, as far as he's concerned, he will draw it to the gentleman's attention. I'm not calling the gentleman's name, but everybody, you know, I'm not talking about the cars that park. I'm talking about every week, containers blocked, container trucks are blocking to deliver and to pull out, and they have destroyed the road, completely destroyed the road.
But you were in the system previously. You must know how these things work. But the question I was trying to get, the concern I was trying to get to, is the fact that we don't get answers, and I was wondering if we get answers, if we would feel less aggrieved. But you've made your point, and I have to move on at this stage. I want to touch on this one. This one says, good morning, Corey. Mark Williams is right. Also, the person that playing the debushing at over $4 million that was supposed to be used on debushing has not been gone. Where the money gone? Or has not been done. Where the money gone? Good morning, Corey. The bus fare is now $2. I live in Kendall Hill Christchurch. I have a child at Christchurch Foundation, and there is no transport board bus on that route, so he has to use the Silver Hill vans. The struggle is real. The school children bus fare increase, and they're saying parts and insurance gone up. But by overloading the vehicle, you put pressure on the parts. I know you want us to pay. Thanks, here. Corey, has the Minister of Transport sanctioned this? We need to hear from him. Good day. Corey, can you get the Minister's opinion on the increase on bus fares? If there was buses and children can get on them, then I could understand. The children can get to pay if they get on the van. But this ain't good enough. Come on, Corey. Don't let him get away with that. Come on. You are charged $17,000 because of how you get on the road. This one says, read this last one. It says, adult bus fare is $2. School children in uniform, $150. Corey, don't let him rub salt in your mouth and call it sugar. Oh, sugar time, huh? Brass Stats, good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning to you, Mr. Lane.
Hi, good morning. You see where you're coming, so don't blame me. Don't blame me. All right, good. Go ahead.
Don't blame you? Right, okay, good. Well, I want you to let me get to my points, then.
Good. Go ahead.
All right, there's just a couple I want you to respond to. But first, I will say, ask Miss Hines Lane, as she believes she could achieve what she wants to achieve by turning her back on Christianity. That is the first thing.
F who?
Miss Hines Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Marsha Hines Lane. Because I once heard her say on the program that she's no longer a Christian and she's glad.
Okay, that's one.
Right. That's one point.
Yes, 1 point.
Oh, that's by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I want to refer to Miss Eastman, Leonard Eastman yesterday, and her statement where she said that the 11 Plus was designed for you to fail. I find that very off. I would like to ask then, if inter school sports is designed to get children coming last, right? Or you could call that to well move on.
Two.
What we want to ask you, and I think, by the way, that Reverend Atherley, not on the whole debate, because I listen to the whole debate on the point with 11 plus, I think Reverend Atherley is who win that debate on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Two?
Three.
I will, you call this three. Okay. I would like the health official, I would like to ask them why it is that you ban one supermarket. And they could call them too, not that I defending them, Massey, from selling chemicals. But there's another supermarket in the same right area that continue to sell chemicals. And they don't agree with it because chemicals, things like, you know, the demon and then starting, going with food, to me, and rat poison, shouldn't be. Poison should be mixed with food. So if you ban one, it should ban the next one. Right.
True.
And I think the last one, Corey, right, is it a policy of floor to not, to when you actually pay your bill and they got 2 cents, they're not wronged off? They will tell you that 2 cents is, that you got to pay that 2 cents?
Does paying how? By cash?
Well, I understand from one of their customers is that the 2 cents, if your bill come out to 2 cents, right? Let them say the price, $35.02 or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They say that you have to pay that 2 cents. And it is added up according to the one of the customers.
Okay. If you're paying by credit card, I understand you will pay the 2 cents. But if you're paying by cash, there is no 2 cents to pay. So there's no cents in circulation anymore. So, well, so that should answer that.